Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine, and we're just going to start off this episode with a song from Psalm 46. This is for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth. So it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Okay, so I guess I'll get into it now. So I read a quote the other day that on the surface, it seems really simple. It's one of those like, duh, but you know, easily understood. But I think it can be a lot more difficult to accept. And this quote's by an unknown author, and it says, the only thing certain in life is uncertainty. And after reading this, I thought this would be a great topic to discuss on here, as I have had maybe more than the usual fair share, or maybe not, of experiences that led to or were already in a place of uncertainty. And I remember in the past, and sometimes even now, how scary that felt. You know, my mind isn't directed and focused, or my hope is not anchored in Christ. So that's when I notice myself getting kind of anxious about that, and like the peace of God kind of not being able to feel that, even though he is there. Wow, of course, lost my outline. Well, it took like 30 minutes to pull up, so it'll probably take an additional 30 for it to come back on. Okay, so yeah, found my outline again. But yeah, I just remember how it used to feel, and sometimes still can feel, so scary when my hope is not anchored in Jesus Christ alone in this walk of faith. You know, personally, I would say most of my uncertainty is anchored in a fear of God, or wanting to do his will, or do what his plan is for my life, when I feel I know no directions. So I first want to address this concept of God's plan for us before jumping into the common areas where we might face uncertainty, and then discuss some of my personal stories related to this topic. So God's plan for us is essentially to live by faith. Well, no, maybe not. No, yeah, the concept of God's plan for us is a central theme in the Bible. There are a few points that help us kind of understand this idea for his purpose, his guidance, and his desire for our lives. So the first one would be God's sovereignty. The Bible teaches us that God is sovereign and in control of all things, that his plans are often beyond our understanding, but they are ultimately for our good. And we read this in numerous stories throughout the Bible. So, but just one in particular that kind of goes along with this is Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 9, which says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The second would be a plan for hope and a future. So God's plans are described as good, filled with hope and a future. This is often cited, this quote I'm about to say is often cited as a reassurance during difficult times. However, I also want to add a little context after I read that, I guess. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So the thing I wanted to point out was in that it would not be another 70 years before the Israelites would actually experience these good plans that the Lord had for them. So I think that's, I really enjoy taking that, not enjoy, I think it's good to take that into consideration when we think sometimes about like God's promises and his plans for us, that, you know, it's on his time, not ours. And that can look a little different for each person. You know, I don't think that they were given a time for how long it would take. And that was a test of their faith, the Israelites, whenever it would take 70 years in exile before they would receive those good plans that God had for them. So the other one is, individual purpose. We each have a unique purpose and calling by God. So important to remember the gifts that we've been given. Some people's might be a little bit more shiny and out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. But your gift is just as important and needed, even if it's like a small behind the scenes thing. Like some people, you know, get front and center, and some people are more introverted like me and more behind the scenes. And kind of ministering to people in that way and sharing the gospel in that way, living out my faith in Jesus. So yeah, I think, you know, not everyone is called into church ministry. Some are more goers. They go out into the world, you know, obviously reuniting with their communities of faith to keep them grounded and anchored in Christ. But yeah, so anyway, that was a side note. But yeah, this can involve our careers, relationships, and how we serve others. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The other would be seeking God's guidance. To understand his plan, we are encouraged to seek God first through prayer, scripture, and wise counsel. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. I love this verse so much. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Okay, never mind. That's not the one I thought it was. I thought it was the one that said, "We make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Either way, still a good one. Another point is the role of faith and obedience in the working out of God's plan and his desire for our lives. So the role of faith and obedience, they're both crucial in walking out God's plan. By following his commandments and leading, we align ourselves with his purpose. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So even when we can't see, even when in Jeremiah, the Israelites were told God has good plans for them, plans to give them hope in a future, you know, they didn't know it would be 70 years. So that's, you know, trusting in the hope that God has given them. Yeah. Then there's growth through trials. I talk a lot about that, about trials I've experienced and growth that I've then experience, spiritual growth I've experienced as a result of that. But yeah, God often uses challenges in our own lives to mold our character and strengthen our faith, which prepares us for his purposes, which we might not know. Romans 5 verses 3 through 5 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Another point is community and relationships. God's plan often involves us being in a community of faith and having relationships that would glorify him. But we are called to do that not just to people in the community of faith, but also everyone. And I'm going to add in something right here. It's a little bit unrelated, but I have had a personal conviction here lately that I struggle more to love as hard or love as much people in my communities of faith than I do those who are not. And I almost find it easier, which is kind of interesting. I mean, Jesus at one point says in scripture, he says, if you just only love those who love you, then what good does that do? Even the Gentiles do that. But there is also importances later in scripture that are brought up that we need to be good to those, especially those in the household of faith. I believe Paul says, like, be good to all and look after the things of others, not only yours, but the things of those around you. So yeah, that was just my little side note. Yeah, so community relationships, we are called to love one another, fulfilling his purposes collectively. 1 Corinthians 12 verses 12 through 27 discuss the body of Christ, emphasizing that each member has a unique role and purpose. He uses analogies, or I think analogies is the right word, but he uses analogies like, can the hand say, or like, can the ear say to the mouth, why can't I speak, or something like that? I didn't do that. I didn't say that right. So, but yeah, basically just like, we are all different and unique. Like, we need our ears, but our ears don't talk. We need our mouths, but I can't say our mouths don't smell. They kind of do when they work with our nose. But you get the point. And yeah, like, okay. Then there is the eternal perspective. Lastly, in this side little endeavor about our purpose in God. Yeah. So there's the eternal perspective, which is ultimately that God's plan encompasses not just our earthly lives, but also our eternal destiny. So believers are assured of eternal life through our faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, the verse everybody knows. Well, almost everybody, I think, would know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So yeah, understanding God's plan for us involves recognizing his sovereignty first and foremost, then seeking guidance and living with faith and obedience. So it's about finding purpose in our daily lives while trusting that God has a greater plan that encompasses both our present circumstances and our eternal future. Then back to, yeah. So, okay. I'm now going to talk about just some areas of uncertainty that we face commonly, like just generally, that I think we can all kind of relate to, like career uncertainty, which is, you know, sometimes people feeling like they are stuck at a job, or they're contemplating a career change, or maybe they're without a job and they can't seem to get one. Maybe the job they're working at seems to go against their morals or values, and they're in a place where they're not sure what to do and are seeking the Lord in that. And I think this is the verse earlier that I said was one of my favorites. Yeah, it's a very reassuring verse for whenever we feel like, what do I do next? What's the next move? Like, I have to do something. What's the next move? I don't want it to be the wrong thing. I think just reminding ourselves and feeling the peace of Proverbs 16:9, which says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Yeah. So speaking of this career uncertainty, I'll add in some personal anecdotes or experiences I've had. So you guys know most of my experience with the abusive relationship and my time out of school, then going back to school, finishing my degree. Well, lots of times in there, especially the abuse and discouragement from that, of, you know, feeling like I just couldn't, like I was unable, I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't dedicated, just, you know, listening to the words that the enemy was speaking through other people and really taking it to heart when I was younger. And I did feel a bit like, I'm not able to do this, like I don't even know what I want to do, but I knew I needed to get my degree, and it was a very good time as I was healing. So I finished my degree online, and I remembered saying to my mom, they're like, are you going to walk across the stage, my family and stuff? And I'm like, I'll know the day of it. Like, I will know if I've graduated when I'm walking across that stage. That's not much. That doesn't seem very hopeful, but my hope was in Jesus. Like, it's like, whether it is or whether it isn't, whether I'll know when I walk across, that's not where my hope is. I mean, yes, that would have been nice. That would be nice. And it was nice. And it was according to God's plan that I had graduated. So that was awesome. But after that, I had already been admitted to law school for that fall. And I will have to say that that was one of my, so I made this list in high school that was like, all these things I wanted to have done by the time I was 25. Well, it's way past now. Most of them happened, got done, or didn't work out the way God intended them to, and I'm very thankful for that. Another verse just came to mind, commit your works to the Lord and he will establish your steps. You know, because he did let me do all of those things that I had wanted, but they didn't end the way I wanted, and I learned so much through that that I actually didn't want it to begin with. And that's kind of how it was with this last thing. So I graduated with my undergrad. I had a miscarriage like 6 months before that. Graduate from my online program, walk across the stage. It was beautiful. And just after being in survival mode, you know, for about 24 years at that point, I was trying to keep going, and I was like, we're gonna do this. I do believe this is where God has called me. So I started law school, and I went for a year, a little, like, there was like a month there towards the end where I was super sick and in the process of withdrawing. Ultimately, my disability and sickness is why I had to withdraw. But whenever I was in class and stuff, the whole time it felt like a spiritual fight, like extreme spiritual warfare, because to me it felt like I was just trying to play God. I'm not saying that's the case for everybody, but that was the case for me and what I kind of felt like God was showing me, which terrified me because I had taken out loans and everything, and I didn't know I'd be getting sick again. I thought all my sickness was getting better, maybe, and under control, but it's not. It flares up all the time. And I wasn't able to finish. And I remembered on Christmas break after first semester, I was definitely leaning towards, like, this isn't it. And I cried for like the whole week before I went back and prayed and fasted and was like, Lord, I've made this commitment. I will finish out this year and, you know, see what you've communicate, you know, like just wait patiently and see what he does in me, or, you know, maybe speaks to me in the meantime. And he spoke quite a bit into me in the meantime. I was able to make it to around like spring break and finals kind of came pretty close together. It was like April about. So like I started in August and it was like April. I would have been finished with my first year in May, like the first one or two weeks of May. Whenever that, I remembered going into an advisor or like a student's mentor's office, and I just started bawling my eyes out because I was like, I thought this was where God had me. I thought this is where God wanted me. And you know, I think he did. I think he did want me there during that time, but I don't know that he wanted me to stay in it. I think that there was a very, very strong lesson about various aspects of my own faith, like especially in terms of legalism and, you know, because some people see the Bible from a more legalistic perspective, as in do this to earn your salvation. So I was just kind of getting a lot of things mixed up in my head and recognizing that I fall short, we all fall short, and that I wouldn't be able to help the people that I wanted to help because of the way things were within the system. And it was very discouraging because I really thought that that's where God had had me, and it was the last thing on my list, really. And so I'm still somewhat in that area of uncertainty, but God has blessed me throughout it. I had an outstanding internship with a nonprofit organization in communications. My undergrad degree was in journalism and mass communications, so I greatly enjoyed that and loved the beautiful people God sent into my life through that opportunity. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And so that's another positive about, like, even though things were uncertain, because I had my mom on me about, what are you gonna do next? And everybody on me, what are you gonna do next? And I'm like, and maybe not just my mom, but obviously just, what are you gonna do? What's the plan? And I'm like, I don't know. I almost feel stuck. I almost feel froze. But after all of the things that, like, kind of more talking about that list and just like past relationships and career fails and relationship fails and the amount of times I changed my major in undergrad is crazy. But there was so much uncertainty that, yes, during that time I was a mess. I was a wreck because I thought it was all in my hands. And then God kind of grabbed hold of me, and I really do have a very deep sense of peace that everything is gonna be okay. Because I've seen this happen before in my life, and I've seen myself get worried, and then I've seen God provide. And it's like, how can I not trust? So, though I am in a period of uncertainty with my health, with my relationships, with my career, with stable housing, with everything in my future, worship might look a little different than it does when I feel that I have all that I need, but really God is all we need. And his love, I think worship looks a little different when you know, you get something that you've been waiting for a long time versus when you're worshiping in the waiting. And I would say that's kind of where I'm at right now. So, okay, yeah, next one. Oh, well, yeah, so a biblical reference to this would be, I already said that, Proverbs 16:9, yeah. A biblical reference to that point would be Proverbs 16:9, where it says, In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Then again, relationship uncertainty. I can't even get into that's a whole other episode, the complexities of dating and friendships and family dynamics in general, but especially in today's age, I guess. A quote that goes along with this is, we can't control the other person, but we can control how we respond. And I absolutely love that quote. But it has taken a long time for me to learn that one. In relationships sometimes, like, I'll notice, like, I'm saying stuff I don't want to say. And I don't realize how that's coming off because I don't realize it. In my head, it sounds totally different. So, like, for example, when I'm editing these videos, I pretty much get a good, like, I've pretty much watched the video from start to finish with the editing. But I'll go back and listen sometimes and I'll be like, what? Like, that is so confusing. I should have said this. I should have said this. I should have added this, taken away this. I should have, you know, made it more clear. And I actually thought about that as like a good episode idea where I play one of my old episodes and then like just watch it and laugh and correct myself along the way. I think that'd be kind of fun. Maybe not though. Also, in our life goals, talked about the what I wanted to do in my future and seeing that that wasn't it, and now having zero idea what it looks like. My little list I made in high school, you know, and just now having no idea what is next. One of my life goals was also to get married or have kids, and I had had a miscarriage and I had been proposed to by my abuser, and still like the abuser before my miscarriage. So yeah, it did kind of discourage me in terms of like, do I ever want to get married then? Do I ever want to have kids then? But God is healing me in this process. It is my hope and goal to just trust in Him alone in it, and knowing that He has good plans, whether or not that takes 70 years or whether or not I even see it in this lifetime, or don't experience it until the other side of eternity is more what I'm saying. But yes, I shared a lot of personal stories about this topic of uncertainty and embracing the unknown. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I love that one. But again, remembering God's sovereignty and that God is not a genie in the bottle. Even Jesus says, Jesus wishes that the cup would be taken from him before he's nailed to the cross. And he says, please take this cup away from me, but not my will, but yours be done. I'm not sure how he transitions there. He's like, yeah, he basically just says, please take this cup from me, but not mine, but your will be done. So, you know, I absolutely believe in the power of prayer. Absolutely believe in it. I just think it's important that we remind ourselves that it's not just prayer. Our prayer is a lot of times just to get us closer to God. It's not really to get something that we want, because as we've began to understand, a lot of what we want really isn't good for us, or what we need, or what God has for us. I'm gonna have to pause or like take 1 second to plug my laptop in because I don't want to have to redo this entire episode. Okie dokie. Okay, so yeah, some practical tips for embracing the unknown can be mindfulness, just staying present, naming 5 things that you can touch, hear, taste, smell, or see. Journaling. I really enjoy journaling. Also, I do have this cool app. It's called Stoic, and it gives you, even with the unpaid version, you won't be able to write down the journal to that prompt, but it at least gives you the prompt and allows you to kind of exercise your mind in that aspect. And I think it's really cool. So yeah, if you're interested in journaling to kind of just help calm you down or whatever during any time, or just to learn more about yourself even, I would download that. I'm not even like affiliated or anything, but yeah, it's just called Stoic. It's like the logo is like a little S and maybe a dot or a period. But yeah. So there's journaling, then support systems, which would be leaning on God first and foremost, talking with friends, families, or mentors, trusted friends, family, or mentors for guidance, and reminding yourself of your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm sure another quote some people would say, to set small, achievable, or wait, some people would say when you're dealing with uncertainty, you should set small, achievable goals and emphasize growth over perfection. I think that's very good. Sometimes it's just one step at a time. Sometimes it's just making your bed that day. I mean, it's really doesn't have to be anything huge, like finish this 5-year project we've been working on tonight or something. You know, it can be very, very small. Or just being kind to a stranger. That's not really in line with what we're talking about, but still, it actually kind of is. Then, yeah, here's this quote that I'm sure we've all heard again, which is, "Life is a journey, not a destination," by Ralph Waldo Emerson. So when we're trying to find clarity in chaos, for me, some people would experiment with new activities or roles. I do that sometimes. I start painting or I find a new hobby that I like and I'm like, wow, this is very interesting, you know, that what it's showing me through this, or gardening even. I think God has taught me a lot through gardening, which is, it is so cool just seeing the life of a plant and getting to nurture it and just see, you know, that it's God who waters the trees, seeing what he does in plants, like, I don't know. But yeah, some people, yes, would experiment with new activities or roles or seek mentorship or guidance. For me, I tend to find the most peace when I'm getting into the Bible and letting God speak to me through his word, or listening to sermons, which is why I also wanted to talk about how the Bible addresses uncertainty and share some stories from the Bible about people in the face of uncertainty. But first, I'm going to give a biblical reference to this. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So the Bible addresses uncertainty in various ways and offers wisdom and guidance for dealing when we're dealing with doubt and anxiety. And here are some of the key themes and verses related to uncertainty. So one would be trust in God. The Bible encourages us as believers to place our trust in God rather than relying solely on our own understanding, or then placing our trust in God rather than trust in the world. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The next is peace in anxious times. Scripture constantly reassures us that we can find peace in God amidst uncertainty and anxiety. I've already read this one from Philippians. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." The other is God's plan for us. And we read Jeremiah 29:11, seeking wisdom. So we've read James 1:5 already too, that if any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Living in faith. The Bible calls us to live by faith, trusting in God's sovereignty over all of our circumstances. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Another is God's presence. I've talked about this before a lot as well, that in times of uncertainty, we are reminded that God's always with us, providing us comfort and guidance. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And lastly, there would be embracing the unknown. The Bible fully acknowledges that this life is going to be filled with a plethora of unknowns, but God encourages us to approach these uncertainties with hope and trust in him. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Some versions say, I think, "Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof," or something, but basically just means like there's going to be enough bad stuff going on tomorrow, so let's just be here today. So yeah, the biblical perspective ultimately on dealing with uncertainty is just emphasizes our trust in God, seeking wisdom, and finding peace in His presence. So I also want to talk about, since I mention a lot of these words about like faith and salvation and all this, I always want to be sure I'm like being clear as best I can with what God has given me, but never to be misleading. That is a great fear of mine as well. Yes, for the sake of your soul, but also because I would not want to go against the word of God in that. So yeah. So faith in the biblical context is essentially a profound trust and belief in God, in His promises, and in His character. And faith serves as the foundation for a believer's relationship with God and is integral to the Christian life. So here is kind of another little deeper look at what faith is and how to live by it according to the Bible. So first, definition of faith, trust in God. Faith is fundamentally about trusting in God and believing in His goodness, even when circumstances are uncertain. Again, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The components of faith would be belief and action. So belief involves believing in God's existence and His promises. True faith is demonstrated through actions that align with belief. James 2 verse 17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And the belief part of that is from Romans 10:17, which says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus Christ. Living by faith would be trusting God in all circumstances, and that is in both good and in challenging times. We've already read the verse from Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Another is prayer and communication when we're living by faith, which I kind of discussed earlier in, that regular prayer helps foster a deeper relationship with God and does reinforce our faith. And I noticed that a lot too, is like knowing that God knows my heart makes each day a lot easier. And I also seem to see Him a lot more. Like in every single interaction, I see Him. It's very, very beautiful. So then yeah, faith in action would be obeying God's word. Living by faith means following God's commandments and living according to His will. John 14:15 is Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandment. Serving others, faith is expressed through love and service to others. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another humbly in love. Then there's community and accountability. That helps us as believers strengthen our faith through encouragement and accountability. Hebrews 10 verses 24 through 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The next one would be hope and perseverance. So enduring trials is faith gives us the strength to endure difficulties, knowing that God is with us and has a purpose for our struggles, whether or not we know that purpose. Romans 5 verses 3 through 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. So then faith in God's promises. Remembering His faithfulness. As I discussed earlier, remembering all the times that I was so anxious and so worried that everything was going to fall apart, God shows up again and again and again. So, yeah, just remembering His faithfulness to us in the past can help strengthen our current faith. Psalm 77 verses 11 through 12 say, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. So in conclusion, living by faith according to the Bible involves a deep trust in God, aligning our actions with His will and relying on His strength through prayer and community. It's about believing in God's promises even when we can't see the outcomes, and actively expressing that faith through obedient service and perseverance in the face of life's challenges. I don't think I explained the story about Abraham as a biblical example of uncertainty. I guess I can try to squeeze it in here really quick. So, yeah, in Abraham's journey of faith, he has a very powerful example of faith. because he navigated uncertainty and emerged stronger in his faith as he journeyed with God. So first of all, Abraham did not receive the law. He was born hundreds of years before Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. It is said that he obeyed the foundational spiritual laws that were later given to Israel, and on his faith journey, he was taught God's laws and obeyed them. The law was added to the promise, not replacing it, and was intended to show us our need for grace, not to replace it, which is, again, something we would earn by what we'd call good living. Yeah, so Abraham's journey of faith starts with his call to leave. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, God called Abraham, then Abram, to leave his homeland and go to a land that God would show him. That would require a lot of faith. It's like, where are we going? Don't know. But God said to go, so he went. He left everything behind, not knowing where he was going. I don't think many of us would be able to do that. The lesson in that was that trusting God often means stepping out into the unknown and or the uncertain, and relying on his guidance rather than our understanding. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, is a Bible verse from Genesis 15:6 that also appears in Romans 4. And this verse is used to illustrate that people are considered righteous by God because of their faith, not because of their works. The verse also shows that Abraham was right before God because of God's mercy, not because of his own merit. The Apostle James also cites this verse in James 2:23, claiming that Abraham became the friend of God because of his faith. So Abraham was promised a nation. A scripture reference for this is Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. God promised Abraham that he would have countless descendants, despite his old age and the barrenness of his wife Sarah. Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness because he believed God's promise. So that's actually a really interesting story too, because when God tells Abraham that he's going to have a kid, that he's going to make a nation more numerous than the stars, be the father of a nation more numerous than the stars, his wife Sarah, because they're much older, I can't remember how old, but think grandparents' age probably. And they're, you know, hearing this, and it's like, his wife is barren, Sarah is barren. And so, and then there's the thing with Hagar that comes in, because God's promise was not going to come until way later. So they were getting a little bit anxious, like, okay, well, how are we supposed to do this, I guess? So Sarah gave their servant, their someone who worked for them, I guess, said that Hagar and Abraham should have a baby, and that maybe that was the baby that they were supposed to have. But yeah, because when Sarah heard God telling Abraham this, she laughed. And then God says, why did she laugh? And then Sarah says, I didn't laugh. And God is God, so he knows. But that even shows that in the midst of that, though, I mean, we're told not to commit adultery, which, again, the law was later, but he was known as a friend of God. And even despite the subtle, some sort of disobedience, I guess you could call it, in the middle of, like, trying to take it into their own hands and be like, well, how are we gonna have these kids? Whenever Sarah's like, I can't have kids. So, but ultimately, God does fulfill his promise, and that was with Isaac. So, faith involves believing in God's promises even when circumstances seem impossible. But it definitely stands out to me when I read the Bible that Moses did not get to enter into the promised land. And that, the reason why has a few different interpretations, but according to the Bible, Moses was forbidden from entering the promised land because of disobedience to God. In the Hebrew Bible, Moses struck a rock instead of speaking to it as God instructed. And so God responded by forbidding the Israelites from entering the promised land. According to the Torah, Moses was told he would not enter the promised land because of a rock incident, but the Torah doesn't say this was the only reason. Some say Moses was unable to lead the Israelites because he had innocent blood on his hands. But then according to Deuteronomy, the Lord told Moses he could not enter the promised land because the Lord was angry with him for your sakes, and that's most likely the Israelites. So yeah, then sorry for that side note. I think I wanted to point that out because faithfulness and obedience to the law of God is a journey, not a destination. The destination is God. the destination is God. It is to make it to the end, not really like being perfect while we're doing it, because it starts to feel or sound or seem a bit self-righteous. Not to say that anyone can't be healed or be, is that we are all being perfected in Christ, and not to say miracles can't happen. They do. I guess I sometimes really, really wrestle with the concept of like the law and then grace. But as this is saying, is like the law is to show us that we need grace. And that was given to us in Jesus Christ when he, in his life, death, and resurrection on the cross. So our faith in him imputes to us his righteousness. And then we are made right before God. So I just wanted to encourage you guys a little bit there, because this is getting kind of heavy. So then tests of faith, the scripture reference for this, back to Abraham again in Genesis 22. Perhaps the greatest test came when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, who was the child of promise. And Abraham obediently prepared to do so, demonstrating his unwavering faith in God. And at the last moment, God intervened and provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice. Yeah, the lesson in that is that true faith may be tested, but it also leads to profound growth and deeper reliance on God. It teaches us about obedience, trust, and God's provision. And lastly, the fulfillment of promises. In Genesis 21, we see that eventually Sarah bore Isaac, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham. This culmination of years and years and years of waiting and uncertainty affirmed Abraham's faith. So the lesson in that is that God's timing might not align with our expectations. In fact, it most often doesn't. But he is faithful to his promises, and we see that in his character. He is sovereign, and perseverance in faith can lead to incredible blessings. Abraham's journey essentially illustrates that uncertainty can be an opportunity for growth in faith. His willingness to trust God through the unknowns and trials teaches us valuable lessons about obedience, of reliance on God's promises, and the importance of faith in our own lives. Ultimately, Abraham's faith not only shaped his own legacy, but also established him as the father of many nations, exemplifying the rewards of unwavering belief and trust and hope and faith in God. So yeah, I guess to close us out here, I will share a couple quotes about on navigating uncertainty and doubt and ambiguity. I think I just have three here. Yeah. So one is by Henry David Thoreau. I hope I said that right. The only certainty is that nothing is certain. Another is by John O'Donohue. The mind that is not afraid of uncertainty is the mind that is free. And then the last one's by Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. So yeah, basically, even in these times of uncertainty, practicing kindness as well is very, very important, because I think we all kind of deal with that, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, an economic thing, whether it's our relationships, our career, our school, the weather, you know, employment, everything. Just having grace for people and remembering all that God has done in the past during uncertain times and how he's always came through can be really helpful in just keeping you grounded and keeping you at peace and experiencing the love of Jesus Christ even in those times. And I guess I don't like to say I'm preaching, but for the sake of the phrase, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. It's very difficult. While it is like super difficult to navigate uncertain situations, I think we all can look back and see times where we've had uncertain times, and it might have taken a whole lot longer than we expected to figure out what that was, and maybe we still didn't figure out what that purpose of that was. So then we look to God and remember his sovereignty and remember that his will be done, and his will is better than ours. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I love you guys very much. You are so awesome, and I really, really appreciate all of your support. You guys are the best.